Last time, you remember, the citizens of Frostbite Falls had the shock of their lives when every TV antenna in town mysteriously disappeared. Their reaction was instantaneous.
Our lives are ruined.
Some people refused to admit that the terrible thing had happened and sat doggedly before their sets anyway. Others resorted to ingenious methods of substitution. But the most mysterious thing of all was the way the antennas had disappeared.
You may not believe this, boys, but every one of them was bitten off.
Bitten off? You mean there's some metal-munching monster loose in this town?
Now, let's not jump to conclusions, boys. There's probably some logical explanation.
Sure make a better story my way.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is George Securus, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
We're talking about Quinn Martin, Cannon, and the career of William Conrad, along with Tony Figueroa and Donna Allen.
He did, after Cannon, he did Nero Wolfe.
Nero Wolfe, which won 13 and Out.
Yeah, on NBC.
Was and a young Lee Horsley.
Yeah.
As Archie. And then, within 5 years, he did Jake and the Fat Man with Dean Hargrove, produced by Dean Hargrove and Trent Reznor.
Yeah, which started, and that's, I think that was a spinoff of Murder, She Wrote.
It may have been,
so.
And then the show moved to Hawaii.
Right. I think he moved to Hawaii after Magnum P.I. ended.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
I think that's how that happened. I'm going off memory here, so.
I think you may have it there.
Because Jake started, and my friend Paul Coyle would know this for sure because Paul wrote for Jake and the Fat Man. But I think Jake started 87, 88. Magnum left TV at the end of the 87, 88 season. And then I think they moved to Hawaii like 88, 89. And they continued there for a couple of years.
Yeah. So they, I think you nailed it right there.
Yeah.
Or he played, you know, and this time William Conrad is a district attorney. But, yeah, the show was set in Los Angeles the first season at the end of Magnum's P.I. The show moved to Hawaii the second, third season, and half the fourth season were filmed in Honolulu. The show then returned to Los Angeles for the remainder of its run.
And the title of every episode of Jake and the Fat Man was named after a classic song from the Great American Songbook, like Love Me or Leave Me.
That's a cool device.
Yeah.
So, and this I did not know, and I'm surprised my memory is not tuned into this. Joe Penny, you know, remember he came off of Riptide.
Yeah.
Lost a large amount of weight after the show moved to Hawaii, which led to many rumors about his health.
I did not.
Including the possibility that he had AIDS. Remember, if at that time, if you were in the public eye,
that could be a killer.
And that's
a poor choice of words, but that could have hurt you.
Well, you're talking career killer. Yeah,
that's a career killer.
Richard Pryor was losing weight when he was getting sick. It wasn't, but immediately people were going there, and even I think models were having that if they were dropping too much, or even an actor losing weight for a part. People were immediately jumping that. He had actually suffered from a gastrointestinal virus and having difficulty retaining his weight. And when the show moved back to Los Angeles, that was his urging. I guess he had too much of Hawaii.
Yeah, I was going to say he probably ate something bad.
It's just, I imagine.
Kamehameha is a revenge.
Yeah, but yeah, it's probably something like that. But, interesting that it's not William Conrad's weight people were concerned about.
Yeah.
It was Joe Penny losing weight that people were concerned about.
I do understand that Conrad got bigger as the show went along.
He has steady work, and I imagine you could eat very well in Hawaii.
Yes,
a lot of local delicacies, and if you did not have a problem like Joe Penny had, you could easily put on being somebody who comes originally from a tropical island who visits every so often, the local food there, you could put on a lot of weight really fast.
I was telling you guys this story off the air. When I was working on my book on The Fugitive, I reached out to William Conrad, who, of course, narrated every episode of The Fugitive, and I finally heard from him about 2 weeks before I had to turn the manuscript into the publisher. And he was very nice. He was a little frail at the time. I think this was about within a year before he died. But he basically said, I don't have any memories of my doing the narration of The Fugitive, but I'm calling you simply because you reached out to me and I wanted to at least let you know that I got your letter and to thank you for writing me, which not every actor would do. I mean, they would just kind of put, some actors, they get a letter and they just put it aside and that's the end of that, you know. And I understand that sometimes when you reach out to people, sometimes people will respond, sometimes people don't respond. I don't hold that against them, but I remember, that's the other thing, when people... When I hear the name William Conrad, I think back to that conversation.
That's a very nice courtesy.
Yeah, that shows. I think that shows a certain level of professionalism as well. And you bring up narrating the Fugitive. He also narrated Rocky and Bullwinkle.
That's right. People forget that.
People forget that. There was, I think, PBS may have done it, or was it? No, maybe it was a special when they released all the episodes. This is VHS. And they had a big broadcast of the release and kind of a retrospective. And he did narration going in and out of commercial for the. And I remember, and he
And Fast by Falls.
Exactly. He did exactly that. And first of all, it sounded like he was loving it.
Yeah, I'll bet he was.
But, you know, it's just, you don't always, you know, when you look at the guy, you don't make that kind of,
you don't make
you
that,
know,
kind of,
you
know,
just
you
like,
think, you
know,
of Cannon, was, you think of Gunsmoke.
Yeah,
you know?
He was Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
And, on Gunsmoke on
radio.
And, you know, but.
He wanted to play Gunsmoke on television, but this is according to the story. He was told, you're not visual.
Yeah. He did, when that happened, he was pursuing producing and more behind-the-scenes aspects.
Yeah.
Beyond the voiceover.
Because he was finding difficulty, he was having difficulty finding acting roles other than heavies.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, I suppose you could say he was weightist.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Jerry Seinfeld coined this term, but if this were a Seinfeld episode, he would say, you're being weightist.
Yeah, he would. I've seen him like on Sonny and Cher and on Carol Burnett.
Oh, he would sing.
He would sing and some of the.
He would let loose.
He was incredibly funny, but also, you know, his voiceover talent, he would try to use it as much as possible.
Sure.
I remember on Sonny and Cher, he had done a song called "The Men in My Little Girl's Life." And he's doing the voice of his daughter at various stages of life. You know, from, being dad, being the most important man in the little girl's life, to the boyfriend who becomes the husband, and then his grandson, you know, and then, you know, the maturing voice. And it's such a beautifully done performance. And then to do like an Oliver Hardy sketch. And on Sonny and Cher, also, he was in the Christmas episode. And he does basically a variation of Yes, Virginia, but to Chastity, pre-Chas. So, Chastity asking.
And Chastity was a little girl. Yeah,
yeah, you know, she was tiny. And, you know, Sonny and Cher with, you know, of course, on Christmas, sitting by the tree in a tuxedo and an evening gown.
of course.
A Bob Mackie evening gown. You know, yeah. Chastity, did you have a question for Mr. Conrad? And, you know, it's like, okay, well, this fat guy must know, is there a Santa Claus? You know, of course, you're going to ask a fat guy because they all get, they all know each other.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, and he did kind of, yes, Chastity, there is that voice, and when it's read, it's beautiful, when you have the right person reading piece of material like that.
He's very talented, and my guess, it sounds like he relished the opportunity to show those facets of his personality and his talent skill, because even though canon, you would see they would attempt to incorporate, you know, canon or William Conrad's sense of humor, there were limitations because it was basically a crime drama.
Yeah.
You don't watch a QM show to have William Conrad emote.
No, not at all.
And nor would a QM show have that episode where they're putting on a variety show.
No.
Oh.
Which was, Donna and I had this conversation in the back. In fact, you know, it's funny how Lyndon never showed his musical talents on Barney Miller going back there. You never saw the one where they were doing the Policeman's Variety charity event.
Although you probably would today.
Oh, let's hope not.
Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay, in fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
You can now purchase t-shirts, mugs, caps, hoodies, wall clocks, and other gifts with the TV Confidential logo from the official TV Confidential merchandise shop. For more information, go to televisionconfidential.com/merchandise or cafepress.com/TV Confidential, cafepress.com/TV Confidential. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.